Aces, welcome back to another huge episode of Aces Premiership Countdown. Plenty to talk about in the footy world. I have a huge stop that at the end. One thing that really annoyed me personally. Pig goes on his play on or out of bounds. We have a fresh one. Someone has written in a brand new one. Last week's was a cracker. You can't be pissing in a kid's ball with out of bounds with that one. And we give you some tips on some massive games this week. Carlton and Brisbane, they're on ice, but all the other teams are in action and we break it all down for you on this podcast. So make sure you tune in. Hope you enjoy this episode because it's a cracker. This episode is proudly sponsored by KPI Construction Services. When it comes to construction sites, reliability and efficiency are key. That's where KPI Construction Services shines. With a single call, KPI provides a range of essential services, which includes labour hire, crane hire, and traffic control. KPI is a progressive business with modern plant and equipment across all of their operating states. Focusing on innovation and to avoid the business drifting is always front of mind. We are proud to be aligned with and have such a reputable company partnering with the show. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code Aces if you want a 20% discount code on the house.
All right, Tommy, let's get stuck into the podcast, mate.
Straight in. Welcome back to the Aces Premiership Countdown. Hibbo's in the building. What a week it's been. So many highs and lows. I tell you what, mate, it's you kept it under wraps that you were doing the jersey presentation to Marty Hall. I would have liked that exclusively broken on last week's podcast. You are a man around town, Hibbo. Give me a little update on your life. What's been happening, big fella?
Yeah, big weekend, mate. Good to see you. Yeah, Marty, the Gorney rang me on Thursday, so I hadn't, you know, we did this a little bit before that, but yeah, it was nice of the club to ring me. You know, I've been really close with Marty for a while, and to present his jumper was a real honour. You know, he was kind of like my apprentice when he first got drafted. We both worked in the back line together and enjoyed some good times together. But yeah, I nearly didn't happen, Tommy.
What do you mean?
I was on the freeway and the fun run was on, and going through the city. The tunnel was closed. I left with an hour to spare. It's supposed to be a 20-minute drive, and got past Yarra Boulevard and had not moved in 20 minutes. And I left Aantha in the car. I'm wearing a jacket and a shirt and jogged for 4.5K to get to the G and got there with about 5 minutes to spare. So,
was the pig dripping?
Oh, dripping. I mean, the back of my shirt was stuck to my back. And by the time I got there, I was puffed and I mixed my words a bit wrong at the start, but I spat it out, and it was a good day. Shout out to the MFC Coterie for having Anthony and I there and had a few beers and enjoyed watching the boys have a win. So it was good.
That's brilliant. Shout out to them. Hang on, I don't want to skip over this. No. Marty, talk to everyone just quickly about what he's gone through, because I'm of the opinion that it was Melbourne cut, just delisted, bit of injury stuff, and then 3 years in the VFL chopping up, and they just thought, we need to call Marty. There's no one else better than him. And he being such a good bloke, he goes, I'd love to come back, where some players a bit bitter would go, nah, you guys got rid of me. And I've met him. I know him well enough, but haven't had a few beers with him. But he's the nicest guy in the world. It must be huge having him back around the group. What's the boys saying about him?
Well, he was well loved when he unfortunately got cut. He had as you said, he had an ACL injury. Yeah, played some really good footy in his first couple of years. Missed out in the grand final year with an ACL. It was a tight squeeze then, and unfortunately got cut. And he's worked his ass off to get back. You know, if it was me, I said to him, if this is me, mate, I'm going back playing footy with my mates for a bit of extra cash. But he never gave up on his dream. Played VFL footy for 2 years, won 2 BNFs. You know, team of the year twice, and was probably the best player in the comp. And stuck at it, and they gave him another opportunity. I think the list manager, Tim Lamb, was nearly tail between his legs when he asked for him back. But, you know, Marty being the bloke that he is, you know, smile on his face all the time, and he wanted to jump at the opportunity. Didn't give a stuff what club it was, but probably better that it's Melbourne. It was a bit more familiar, and I know that he's a loved bloke around the locker room, been in the locker room with him. So no one deserved an opportunity, second opportunity more than him, and he played well on the weekend. So
he did. Shout out Marty, and shout out the Melbourne Footy Club, and Lammy getting him back. You know, you make a mistake, but you can always clean it up by getting him back in the building. So it's a good story, another great story. Plenty of good stories throughout the year, but that's one of them. And stoked for him. So, yeah, good weekend.
It was a good weekend, mate.
How many beers you have?
Oh, I would have.
Or the price of beers. You weren't happy with
it? Nah, free. Free in the coterie, mate.
Oh, the pigs worked it out. You got to get the invites.
I know. I gave it a bit of a spray last week about the beer price of the G, but I never found out. I didn't tap the card or pull any cash out.
There you go.
So it was good. They looked up and they treated me like a king. It was like I was a five-time Brownlow medalist in there. You know, when you retire, you get better and better. So, it was good. What did you get up to, mate? Enough of me.
Oh, man, I was in Sydney. Little business pleasure. Watched the Giants. Didn't go to the game, actually. Caught up with a few mates and watched it at the beachy and was back Sunday night. But probably the last trip for a while down here in Melbourne.
You've been there a bit, haven't
you? Yeah, Bondi. There's something about Sydney this year. I reckon, you know, the two teams up there are flying and something about the lifestyle. I reckon Bondi, it's got so much going on. I reckon it's one of the best places in the world. I was saying that before. I think we underestimate our own beaches and whatnot. We talk Europe up. We talk America up.
Mm.
We just probably underestimate how good our backyard is, Hibbo. And, anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about last week because I've walked in with a bit of a head wobble here, and we have two segments. There's our locks and then there's our tips. Tommy's tips, unbelievable hit last week. I'll let you talk about. And then, you know, Pigs Parlay, very stiff, losing one of your mates, Kostya, who's got a week. We'll talk about him in a week, in a minute. Harmsy and Maisie getting into it. Geez, group chat. We've got a bit of insight right here. Our locks, let's start with it. We've double dipped. We've gone hard at Collingwood thinking it's a lock. I flew to Sydney and when I landed, it was all over and it was 40 points. Oh, it might have been more in the end. And I could not believe my eyes. What is going on at the Pies?
Well, if we're going to, we'll go into it. They just don't seem to be defending at the moment. Their back half's struggling a lot. I think Murphy, we underestimated the importance of him in the back line, but, you know, then it doesn't allow Moore to play, you know, a little bit looser and intercept. But watching the game, Sydney defended like their life depended on it, and Collingwood just didn't, you know, and it's becoming a bit of a trend, and it's happened 2 weeks in a row now, and something we haven't seen for a while. So I was a bit disappointed because I wanted the D's in our lock last week.
Well, hang on. I had on the run sheet Essendon at $1.80. I was like, that was my special.
I wanted the D's.
We could have just linked up.
Yeah, we talked each other out of it, and we've gone the Pies, and they have cold pies at the moment, and I've had a cupful because we stink, and I can't pick a winner to save myself. You know, the Pigs parlay wasn't too great, and that's 2 weeks in a row with the locks that haven't gone our way, and it's becoming quite embarrassing. So hopefully we're going to start again this week.
Reset, but you just got to hit the reset
and go again and believe, because I do believe we will get this done. And we said it might take us till round 12 to find our mojo and go. So stick with us. If anything, we're due.
Yeah, we're due. But I tell you, we're not only due, we're stiff. The first time in AFL history, VFL AFL history, the two teams in the grand final have started 0-2, and they're the two teams that put in our locks the first 2 weeks. I mean, if we're not the stiffest blokes, I tell you, well, I don't know who we are. You don't have to be dead to be stiff. You've got two blokes here that have been rolled, and we're going to start again. So if you've done the locks 12-week challenge, we're not going to cheat anymore. It's week one this week, and we've got some specials we'll talk about later on in the podcast. We're going to argue over these ones. We've both got a couple we want to put our names best foot forward. What about the Pigs parlay? We'll just break it down. Yours just missed. Harmsy's Kostya and Sicily got tagged. Everything else saluted. Is that correct?
Yeah, they all saluted apart from, well, there wasn't many there, but Harmsy let me down, and I've let him know about it too. Don't you worry. You're playing against the old mob. You've got to get at least 15 touches, Kane. Harmsy lift.
And he's got the suspension. He's had a sticker.
He's given Maisie a bit of a headbutt too.
Let's talk about that, because I watched the game and I was watching it closely, and I thought it'd be a great game, and I tipped the Dogs. That's another story. But Maisie tackled Harmsy and gave him the almighty little rub of the forearm into his face, and I could tell it went a little bit too far, and Harmsy was filthy. And then I think later on he stood up and maybe gave him just a little bit more of a lean forward, and Maisie's oversold it, and they're no doubt great mates. And now Harmsy's copped a week. So has he given Maisie a little bit of a spray in the WhatsApp?
Well, nah, not in the he headbutted him. You could tell that he tried. It was a love tap, but barely touched him. I don't think he should have got a week, but Maisie didn't help him, as you said. he's tried to milk the 50. He's grabbed his face and he's pointed at him and, you know, he's really dobbed him like he's in grade three class. And that's what's cost him, I think. And, you know, I think they were thinking about challenging it and, you know, he's ended up getting the week. But you were on fire.
Oh, it was a good week. It was a good week.
You come in, your head's wobbling. I'm sitting here sweating. I didn't want to see you again because I haven't tipped a winner in the last 2 weeks and you are wrapped.
Oh, I was up and about. I tell you, I've got it right here. Tommy's tips AFL. And it says round one. So opening round doesn't count, like we said. So I'm one from one with the tips,
and,
really.
And well into the green with a 15.
It was 14.69 without the boost. I got 17s. Wow. Essendon to win. I was just so confident. I just think Essendon will go well. Anyway, $1.80 that was. Cal Brown, 2 goals, tick. Max King, 2 goals, got one late. So that was the one I was worried about. Yugal Hagen, 2 goals. He had about 5 shots on goal. He actually kicked a little bit wayward, but he's always going to get.
He looks long.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know McDonald and all those boys were coming into the side. We obviously record this podcast Wednesday night. So I thought he was going to get I thought Tomo or someone was going to go to him.
Yeah,
I think
like just, for like those.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah. Just yep. Like, you know, it's not that it's 2 goals is not many. I don't think. I thought Norton, my theory was Norton will go to May and he's good enough to kick 4. But I think Maisie, anyone that goes to Maisie, you can't be touching him because he's a lock.
Yeah.
So anyway, Yugal Hagen, 2. And just thought he would kick a couple more, but yeah, 2 tick. And then it all come down to Connor Rosie, 25. He had 18 at halftime. Oh. So I was sitting there going, you beauty. And then in the last quarter, I think he was on 23 with about 10 minutes to go. I'm thinking, come on,
he's
Connor.
Gotta get 2.
Oh, he's a skipper. He had a great game. He was outstanding. So yeah, it was a great week for Tommy's tips. And I appreciate everyone that messaged me on Instagram and got around me. Yeah, I'm feeling good this week.
And I appreciate the feedback I've been getting as well. I've been nowhere and my mates are getting into me. Because I've got mates and family getting on there. He's backing us in. And I've had a few positive texts about you too, saying that you've won some people some money. Oh, so if there's any time to jump on board, Big Tommy's on fire. And I'm due.
Yeah, you are due. And as they say, when you're due, you're due. Just a quick one. I didn't mean to have a go at Tomo. I've kind of made him look like a fool there. I didn't mean to say I'd take Yugal because he's on Tomo. I just thought that what I was trying to say was he was going to be the second tall and Maisie wasn't going to be playing on him. So that's what I was trying to say.
Yep.
And we'll get into that later. I reckon we've got some gems that we can share throughout the week. So just things not to do, like taking on Stephen May. If he's on someone, do not put him in your multiples. Anyway, and so great start. But tell you what's also a great start. It's pretty funny, but the Aces tipping competition, it's still growing. Like, I've got notifications on my emails when someone joins. Yep. We're nearly up to 700 people. Now, people joining after a couple of weeks, if they can take it home, good on them. But they're probably already past me and probably, I think you had a pretty good week on the tipping.
Yeah, I think I was 6 this week. So,
but just a big shout out. So our leader at the moment on the app, it currently says Matt Roberts is sitting 1. And then my mum is sitting 2nd, Jenny Shares from the
Jenny
block.
Shez.
She's sitting 2nd, the old
Jenny
girl.
Shez from the block. What a name.
I've named her that thing like a few years ago because I helped set her up an account a couple of years ago. And I might have to change that now, mum. You're sitting up the top. You've got to make sure you're looking professional. But yeah, that's Jenny Shares right at the top. So big shout out to mum. Can't believe she's in the top. Look at 680 people in this competition. So if you're sitting, and there's 15 people tied for first. So it's going to be tight. So we won't shout out everyone yet because 15 is a lot of names. But so I reckon the next couple of weeks we'll have a clubhouse leader.
Yep.
So very good. Well, that's last week's review. Like I said, we're all about accountability here. It's the Monday review for us, but we do it on a Wednesday. And before I get stuck into the predictions, the game previews and the tips, we have to get to the Rick's eye-catching moments. And there's been a few this week. So, Pig, put the sunnies on and tell me what's really caught your eye this week with your Rick's eye-catching moment.
Well, it's been topical. It's all over the socials, all over the news, but Tassie, and they've signed up over 100,000 members already, foundation members, which I thought was absolutely crazy. Unbelievable for the state who have been asking for a footy team for God knows how long. I've finally got their team. I don't think it starts till 2028, so don't know how it looks yet, but it's a great start to get that many members this early.
Oh, mate, it's eye-catching. 100,000 members, so it's $10 a pop?
Yeah, which
it's $1 million in the kitty straight up.
Straight away, and they're not playing for a while, which I read, you know, because I looked online, I'm like, how are they getting 100,000? How's this work? We're $10 a pop. I was like, oh, yeah. Everyone's saying they've got more members than Melbourne already and all this going on. I'm like, hold on, how's this work? So $10 a pop, it's floating the numbers up there a little bit, but it is a good start for the club.
But why it's special, this is where the marketing comes into it. You know I'm in that game.
Yeah, you are.
So when you're getting all this information, emails, full name, date of birth, phone numbers, address, their marketing team can sit back. The team ain't going to be playing until 2028. They've got 3 or 4 years to sit back, collect as much data, and then just put a great strategy together. And
yep.
And I'd imagine that it's only going to continue to grow. And the one thing the AFL, it's already a success. This is a huge success. It's high demand, this state. I think this state will become one of the most exciting places to go visit, you and your missus or you and your mates to watch football, because it's a mature place to go. You got your wineries, you got your golf courses, you got your pubs.
The golf courses there. Oof.
There's a lot going on there for a little weekend. And if you're from Melbourne or the East Coast, Adelaide as well, not too far away, it's not that far.
You got to pack a hoodie and a jumper. It's freezing down there.
That's the only issue.
It's a big issue for people who want to go on holidays. They usually want to stay a little bit warmer.
Can you imagine owning a pub right near the stadium or in town in Hobart?
Yeah. That'd be good.
Oh, the stocks would be rising, and the Tasmanians—they would be—they'd be finally got something down there. Oh mate, how excited would you be if you're a Tassie man?
Yeah, it'd be good, but like, they need a roof on that stadium. Like as I said, we've played down there. It is freezing. It's windy. You get the wind off the bay, which nearly puts icicles on your fingers. They need a roof. I don't know. I think we'll talk off air before. It's $300 million extra to throw a roof on. Just cop it as an investment.
$300 million.
Yeah. So cop that as an investment. You know, chip that off over how many years? But
okay, that's a good one. So $300 million. Are you putting? This is why I'm going to ask you. $300 million. Are you putting a roof on the stadium because you want your players to be warm, or are you recruiting a side that is local bred Tasmanian spirit? Tasmania Devils that love the cold, so that opposition sides come in and they cannot stand the weather, and it's your advantage and you leave that roof off.
You also want fans to go though. You want to pack this stadium out. And it's like the Bills games out in Buffalo. It's always snowing. It turns people off. And yeah, you're right. They do have an advantage, but I can't see like you wanting to play in that shitty weather all the time, every week.
I know for a fact when we used to play, we used to have to play Hawthorn, which sucked because they were always so good. And we had to play them in Tassie. And yeah. Boys, we'd have meetings about, we don't want to hear about the weather, but as soon as we're your close mates, I can't be fucked. I can't fucking believe we're playing these blokes in Tassie.
No doubt Hawks are the same. We played North Melbourne down there at Bloodstone Arena, and yeah, the wind always went galing the same way. It was always cold. You're right. And you circled that in the calendar and thought, I might have a rest week that week.
When you're a fringe player, that's your grand final. Yeah. You've got to get up.
When you're in your 30s, you can probably take one off. And it's definitely down in Tassie. But it is exciting for the state and all the fans down there finally have their own team. It's still a way off, but it's a good start.
So roof on.
Roof on has to be.
Have to invest that $300 million.
Yep.
Anything else from Tassie? It's been a big week. They're all over the internet. They're all over the news. There's a lot going on. What about the jersey? You happy with the jersey? There's a lot of people talking about the jersey. It's only one jersey.
I hated it, man. It looked like some kid at school won a prize and got to draw a jumper for the footy team. They just blob some green and then just a dab of yellow in the middle. Like they had, how long have they come up with making a jumper design for this team? They've come up with that. It's putrid. It's like where's the devil? The devil's not on. It's just this little yellow Tasmania.
The devil's on the breast.
Is it? Oh, I don't know, man. If you look at it, no one's rolling down the streets in that.
They love it. The boys. Alex Pearce would be rocking that right now. We're going to Fremantle training.
Too safe. Yeah, I think it's the same jumper they run in the state carnivals.
Yeah, like putrid.
I understand. It's might be historic, and they've been wearing those jumpers in state leagues for years or whatever, but You had your time to make something half decent, and you've come up with that. Come on.
And the name, I mean, they've made us wait for how long, and they roll out the Devils like, oh, no shit. Oh, I could have told you that 5 years ago. The Tasmanian Devils. I mean, at least put some more effort into the jersey.
I wonder how that board meeting went. It's like, oh, what mascot can we get for this state? You've got nothing else down there. You just keep the Devil.
But. What do you reckon they're sitting around a table, right? And they're just like, all right, guys, the agenda today, we're going to talk about the name, we're going to talk about the roof of the stadium and the jersey. Let's start with the name. And someone goes, I reckon we call them the Tasmanian Devils.
Oh, yeah, well, they wanted to go to the pub, so they're like, oh, well, there's that one done. And, all right, what jumper should we go with? Oh, why don't we use the jumper they've always been using? Oh, yeah, sweet, let's go. Off we go. We're done. Done for the day.
There you go. Just meeting done. It's a pretty simple game, isn't it, the corporate world? Gee whiz. Who's on the board? Oh, it's exciting, though. 19th team. I'm actually wondering how the fixture is going to work. That's one thing that, being odd now, are they going to bring a 20th team out? No, that's something that my brain always likes the even number. You know when you turn the TV on? I can't deal with the volume being on an odd number. I need it to be even. So now that competition's got 19 teams, I'm just wondering, are they gonna axe one of the teams, or are they going to put another one in there and make it 20?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit the same. I can do blocks of two and fives. So I can do a 15 for some reason.
Yeah, you can do the block.
I think they'll just do, you know, scattered buys, like someone will nearly have a buy every week. I don't know how they'll do it, to be honest.
That's not very good. Expertise. Well, there you go. Congratulations, Tasmania. You guys caught our eye. You are the Rick's eye catchers this week, and we are excited. And I can't wait to go down there and watch some footy. I hope the roof's on the stadium. Now, we skipped over one of our favourite segments. We've got to do this one before we get into the footy, and it is play on or out of bounds. And I had a lot of laughing and a lot of fun last week with your one about pissing in the pool, the kids' pool. Is it play on or out of bounds? I thought it was very funny. We've had some great comments. One of them on TikTok, I just noticed it was quite funny. Someone, Benjamin Van Manen, says, that's disgusting. And then our man Stevie Miller says, nah, it's fine.
Yes, Stevie. Thank you, mate. And I copped a lot of feedback on that, and a lot positive. A lot of people said I'm sick, but a lot of people said they do it at the same time and you just don't admit it, especially to the world.
Absolutely do it. Just don't share it with the world. From Smee Warren. And then someone else said, oh, my Lord, mate. Jack's Hatch and a few others there said, well, if you got out of the pool and started pissing in the pool, it would be play on. Same, but different. So
I was leaving the G the other day, and our man Money Munster and Husey were. I bumped into them at Amy Park because I was about to get an Uber. I had to run across the bridge, and they go, "Oh, you sick bastard! You're pissing in the spa." I used to sit in those spas with you, so they weren't too wrapped. And I think Munster's wife was there too, and I was like, "Oh no!" He's like, "Come on!" And anyway, it was a little bit embarrassing, but so the word's getting around town that, you know, they're probably floating around in my piss there for a while at Amy Park. So,
first of all, we're loving this segment, and everyone, I actually saw Brownie the other day, and he's going, play on or out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah,
So, anyone out there that's got a play on or out of bounds, send them in. We love them. And this week, we're going to go with your play on or out of bounds, because me and Pig have got thousands. But we thought we'd go with your one. So this week, shout out to Mickey Karomas 9 on Instagram. We appreciate you writing in. This is your play on or out of bounds. Righto, lads, using the female cubicle if the male's is full. Personally, I think it's play on. What are your thoughts, lads? There you go there from Mickey.
All right. I think it's a good one from Mickey, and I want to understand what situation he was in and where he was to actually to think of this, and he must have been somewhere where he's looked at the bloke's toilets as chockers and just thought, peeled over, and there's no girls going in there. And I think there's certain scenarios where it's okay. I think the races in those portaloo ones, the portable toilets, if you can see there's just a little lady on there and the bloke's one's next door and there's no one, I think it's fair game to go in those ones. But you can't be pushing the slide, the door, at a restaurant and walking into the girls' toilets just because someone's laying a cable in the bloke's one. You can't be going in there, man. Like, that's not well. That's out of bounds.
That is out of bounds. I think Mickey's a sick unit.
It's not right. You know, well,
I love you, mate, but you're a sick unit. You can't be going into the female cubicles. That's out of bounds, man. Oh, my God. I mean, it's...
I tried to help him out a little bit there. I'm trying to defend you here, Mick, but you're giving me something here to just...
Mix a pig as well. I can't have that, Mick.
Send us in another one next week, Mickey. Nah, but right now, that's out of bounds.
Unless there's a context, like you said, but yeah, that one's completely out of bounds. You just got to, I mean, depend. And what you just said as well, if there's a portaloo and you need to do a Boris Becker as well, I don't know if you can be going in the chick's portaloo. You got to just wait your turn and wait for someone.
You know, if you've gone to a concert or a music festival or, you know, some big gig outside, and they've got them lined up, you know, 50 of them, some are girls, some are blokes. I feel like if you're busting, you know, even had a few tins and or a few wines or whatever it is, I feel like you can walk into those ones, but that's nearly the only time you can do it.
That's what
Mickey.
I mean. So
you can't be doing
Mickey
it.
Mickey Caroma Snow, he thinks it's fly on the people.
You can't be walking into a girl's toilet at a pub or a bar or a restaurant. Or, you know, you'll find yourself in a lawsuit pretty quickly, Mick. Anyway, thanks for that. And yeah, send them through. So we, you know, as you said, we've got our own, but we want to hear a few others. We want to create some.
Yeah, there's only 28 weeks, including finals. So we've already done 3 podcasts. So 25 more specials. And yeah, but shout out, Mick. We love you. We love your support. And we appreciate everyone that writes them in. There was a few good ones as well. I've made sure I documented them. Right, let's get into the footy. It's a big week of footy. We don't review too heavily because we're going to preview these games. But it's a big week. It starts Thursday night, which will be as we're talking. It'll be after this podcast is released. It's a massive game. We've got the Saints taking on the Pies. This game will be massive because both teams are yet to get a win. So you don't want to start the season 0-3 or 0-2 in the Saints' kind of position here. You kick it off here, mate. What do you think is going to happen? Because like you said, the Pies aren't playing the best football at the moment.
No, they're not. Cracking game, I think, Friday night. Is it Friday or Thursday?
Thursday night.
St Kilda home game, and they're saying it could be the biggest home game crowd ever for the Saints.
Really?
So, you know, Collingwood at the G. I think Saints have Jack Sinclair back. Max King, look, you know, he had kicked 2 goals for. You said he kicked 1 late before. You know, I think if he can kick 2 or 3 goals, I think the Saints will win. But Murphy missing, as I said earlier, like just he steadies up that back line and allows Moore to play a different position, a bit different, a bit more aggressive, intercepting. You know, I'm not convinced with the Pies at the moment, and I'm actually going to go with the Saints. They've just dropped off defensively, and I feel like, you know, St Kilda, if they can get going, they'll get them.
Spud's game, so big game.
Yeah, Spud's game.
And we should give a shout out there. Make sure you search Spud's game to donate or support Spud's legacy through the Danny Frawley Centre. So big shout out to them. If it's Spud's game, I think, you know, that's as you said, sold out, Saints home game. Knowing their game plan and the way that they're defensive side first and foremost, and then they attack. Now, again, I used to be coached by their coach. He used to be a midfield coach at Sydney. He knows them very well. Mm. I think he's mates with all their coaches. So I'd imagine seeing what Sydney did, he would be able to implement that kind of style to the Pies. Unless the Pies can completely change what they've done the first 2 weeks, I think I'm going to have to tip the Saints. And I've got a bit of bad blood with the Pies because they cost us in our 12-week challenge with our lock of the week. So I can't sit there and tip them again after what I saw last week. So until I see something else, I'm going to sit there and tip the Saints, and I want them to get up. I want them to win for Spud. So, yeah, let's start with that one. I think we're both on the same page there. So, yeah, there you go. Put your tip in as we go, Pig. But, yeah, let's both tip the Saints in that first one. It should be a cracking game, though. You know, backs against the wall, the Pies. Yep. They need to come out and show their Melbourne fan base.
And it's easy to say, oh, you know, like they're a good team. You know, they'll bounce back. But it doesn't happen like that. Like, it's they're really – dipped and they're out of form. So it's to be a good game. Like, we're backing them to bounce back a little bit, but the Saints, you know, they're, I think they'll be all right this year as well. So we'll see.
Righto, we'll go to Adelaide Oval now. Friday night football. I'll be on the armchair expert sitting there from 7:30 till midnight talking about this one. I've already told Jez. I've already written the run sheet. 5 sausages for you, mate. The Crows, $1.49 taking on the Cats, $2.64. This will be a cracking game. This will be very close. The Cats were impressive last week. And the Crows come back. They were getting smashed early, but the rain, the weather was... I mean, did you see Big Witsy cop one of the almighty Falcons? Have you seen the footage?
Missed it, no.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't do a cog test, mate. This ball hit him that hard. I reckon it's almost a concussion. It's one of the greatest Falcons. But it was that wet up there, and I had no idea that it was going to be that wet. So the game's hard to read, but the Crows really got going in the second half. Yep. So they, at home, they're hard to beat. The Cats, they're normally pretty good, but... I'm going to have to go with the Crows, man. Just that home. I think this is a flip of the coin, and I'm going to go with the home team, like I said. What about you?
And I love that you said it, because I'm flipping the coin here. It's a flip of the coin for me here, and I'm going with Adelaide as well. I think they might get Tex back, which is huge, because all their goal scorers were short, like little fellas last week. Rochelle kicked three, Rankin kicked two, Keys kicked two. If they can get Tex back, takes a little bit of pressure like they off them to score. We know what Big Tex can do. He's a star. Yeah. It's a hostile environment down there in Adelaide. They'll be wrapped to have a game there. It's been a long off season. They love their footy down there, and it's probably the most daunting of places to go play footy. They get up and about, and Friday night down in Adelaide with the Big Texan back, I'm going Adelaide.
Yeah, and I reckon their skipper might have a big game, Dawson. I reckon he might go into my multi this week. I'll have a look. But just feel like if you're going to back a side in, the skippers always go pretty well. And I love his just the way he uses the ball. And
silky
wouldn't be surprised if he kicks one. Marvel Stadium, I'm actually going to be going to this one, the Griffin Logue Cup, as we like to say. Our man, shout out to Logster, who's just, ticking along nicely in rehab, getting his knee back to perfection. North Melbourne taking on the Dockers. The Dockers are favourites, $1.45 here on the app, North, $2.77. The Dockers were very impressive last week. They've taken a few blows. Unfortunately, we've seen a couple of guys get injured, Brennan Cox and Oscar McDonald, which is just shattering seeing what, first game. I just feel for blokes like that. But let's keep it positive. The Dockers come to Melbourne off a high. They played Sunday. This is Saturday, 6-day turnaround. North, they played the Giants and, got ran over. They didn't get completely wiped out. I think they lost by 39 points. What do you think is going to happen here, mate?
I'm going to go with Freo, but I think if I was to pick an upset for the round, it would nearly be North's. They showed a bit last week. Like they fought hard. I know it didn't end up being too nice on the scoreboard to them, but... they showed a bit. They might have Jai Simpkin back. They might have McDonald back. Having Oscar McDonald, and shout out to Oscar, he's a good mate of mine. His knee, that was pretty brutal watching that. But then Brennan Cox out as well. Maybe North can do it. I mean, I don't think they will in saying that. The Sarong's game last week, what a superstar, 46 touches.
How do you touch the ball 46 times in a game, let alone an AFL game?
I wouldn't have touched it 46 times at training, and you get 70 balls out there. It's amazing. So I think after last week's performance against Brisbane, I'm tipping Freo.
Love it. Yep, I'll be tipping Freo, and I apologise to Freo. I tipped Brisbane last week.
Yeah.
I just thought Brisbane have to bounce back, but you're right. There's no more bouncing back. I think you've got to go the home side when you're tossing a coin. This isn't a toss-the-coin game for me, but home side is something I'm going to start doing. Righto, let's move through. The Ds, they'll be taking on the Hawks. Hawks home game. Hawks 380, Ds $1.27. Ds bounced back and looked great. Their defence held up. Maisie was super down there. Clayton Oliver, it's just amazing to see. We picked it. We all had plenty of faith and belief that he'd be back, and he's back in a big way. And I loved him. Just he could have rolled in and kicked a goal, and he just thought, I'm just going to pass it to my teammates. Yep. And I know that he's had his battles in the off season, but the respect for him on the at the footy club would be so high. And it's just so good to see him back and see him dominating and smiling. And I know everyone's talking about it, but we know him pretty well. And it's no surprise to us, is it?
Nah, he's a superstar. And I heard Christian Petrarca say it the other day, he's probably the best player of all time from Melbourne. I agree with that. He's probably the best player. He's definitely the best player I've played with. And see what he did on the weekend after a limited preseason. We spoke about it. It was amazing. And I was at the game and the crowd were going nuts. Like when he passed that ball, would have looked great if he kicked the goal, but it was just those little things showing that he's buying into the team and he's trying to build back a bit of trust from these boys, and that he's got it now. After 2 weeks, I feel like it's starting. You know, he's got a lot of work to do and he openly admits that, but you know, to see him play the way he did, smiling and passing, you know, being a selfless teammate, that was great. Yeah, the boys were good. I think Melbourne win, you know, they're my boys and I keep tipping them every week. They let me down round one, but as I said, Sydney are a good team. They were good against the Dogs, and yeah, I've got them winning quite comfortably. And, you know, Sicily in after kicking someone is an interesting one, but it would have been nice if he wasn't playing, but I still think we get it over the line.
No doubt he'll have 30 this week after not having 20.
Who you got?
Yeah, D's for me. I think they defend. I love the way they defend. As I said, if they get their offense going, which they did, they're going to be very hard to beat. And that was the Melbourne that I know. So can't be sticking. You can't be going away from that. Righto, let's go to Saturday night. It's Sydney taking on the Dons. Sydney firm favorites here. Do we have to talk about too much? The Bombers were impressive, but they, you know, that wasn't like they were playing a top four side in my eyes.
Yeah, I've got Sydney winning comfortably. It's probably the informed team. You know, it's only been a couple of rounds, but they look unbelievable. All the defensive efforts they were making against Collingwood on the weekend is what good teams are based on. You're seeing them just do the hard stuff. And Heaney's probably on 6 votes, winning the Brownlow. It'll be interesting to see how they come back, you know, when Adams and Parker and Mills.
Well, do you play Parker forward or does he go on ball?
I think he'll pinch hit. He'll start probably half forward. I think you have to leave Heaney in the guts. He's played two of the best games nearly ever I saw on champion data. So, I've got Sydney. I don't think there's much to it. Parrish is back for Essendon, which is a good one. And they've got a few outs. Redmond's out. Reed's out. I've got Sydney.
I wish they were paying a little bit more. It'd be a lock of the week. I mean, it is a lock of the week.
$15, it's hard. I think we'll throw them in there. We'll discuss that in a minute.
I was just looking. I thought Essendon last week did a good job on Lewis. He only had 3 shots on goal, 1 goal to 2. But the small forwards got going more, 3 goals. And then you got Ginnivan, 2 goals. Gunston, 1-2. I reckon there might be something there for Papley this week. Just a couple of sausages for Tommy Boy. So I reckon I might be going through him. But that's like the matchup that I like. A little small forward for Sydney. Might get on the end of a couple because they're, you know.
He's a hard one to play on, Papley, too. So you just wonder who is Essendon's lockdown. Like if Redsman's not in there, like he's pretty good. He's
McGrath's
good too.
More runoff. He's not locking down,
plays
is he?
A bit more midfield, halfback. He wouldn't play on Papley. So it's like, who gets that matchup? It's a real hard one.
Especially when the ball's in there 60 times. It's only a small, it's a smaller deck.
Yeah.
All right, let's fly through the last 3 games. The Sunday games, we got the Dogs taking on the Suns. This one will be in Ballarat. How's the rat, Rory Atkins? He's down for the week, I think, both sides. And I think I might be going to the F1. I'm not sure yet. I'm waiting on a potential ticket.
Yep.
Either way, happy. He goes, mate, can you get down to the game? You got to get down to the game, don't you? Watch the rat. He might be playing twos or he might be playing ones. I don't know yet. We've got
to
wait for team selection.
You're not going to Ballarat to watch him play twos, mate.
I said politely,
mate.
Rory, I love you, brother, but you'd have to pay me a lot of money to get down there. Ballarat on a Sunday, you come on. Is he serious?
He's playing to get out there.
Is the rat taking the mick?
He's taking the piss. You're not going out there. I wouldn't even go watch my old man or your brother or anyone go play there.
It's hard enough just going to the G these days.
If anyone listens, it's from Ballarat.
Nothing against Ballarat, but on a Sunday, I'm trying to relax. Relax, it's a fair trek.
Yeah, it's no good. But
Tip, who you got there? The Doggies.
I have
favourites. It says here.
I saw last week from the Dogs. I've got the Suns. I know it's a bit of a hard one. You know, Ballarat, how they'll go there, but they're in form at the moment, and I think some of the defensive stuff was a bit of a worry for the Dogs last week. Like they allowed 129 uncontested marks to the D's, which D's have never been that kind of team to chip around the ball, and obviously they've just allowed them to have too much of the ball. And they laid 37 tackles. Like that's insipid. Like it's so I think, you know, battle of the midfields, you got your Bont, Treloar and Libba against Rowell, Ned Flanders. Didn't he have a game? 35 touches. And
top 10 pick. People forget
Anderson
about him.
And took Miller. Like it's a real battle of the midfields out.
Big Whitsy and English, great ruckman.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting watch there. But I've got Gold Coast. I'm actually surprised the Dogs are the favourite.
It's in Ballarat.
Yeah,
the Doggies probably know the conditions a bit better, but the Suns play well in what's normally probably more wet conditions. I can't imagine. I mean, I haven't looked at the weather.
Mm.
I might get the weather report up right now while you're talking.
So you're leaning towards the Dogs?
Well, I tipped the Dogs last week and thought they were going all right. They missed a lot of set shots. Like, I must say, their forwards kicked a lot of points. They know that. But I reckon they were in the game and then they just got blown out in the last quarter. It was the first game. It was pretty warm. So I just wonder what kind of – I mean, the weather looks like it's going to be pretty good this weekend, so it's not going to be like cold, wet, windy Ballarat. I don't know what it'll be like. I don't know, man. I reckon it's just something about the home team to just, as again, flip of the coin. I'm going to go to the Dogs. I'm big on the Suns this year, so I'm very happy if the Suns can get it done and go to the 3-0. But I'm going to give the Dogs one more chance, and it's a bit like Melbourne. I was off Melbourne so quickly, and they bounced back straight away. So I'm going to give them one more chance, the Dogs. Yep. I'm going to stick with the Doggies and only because it's in Melbourne. If it was up there, I reckon I might flip me tip. And I reckon Norton this week.
Quiet week last week.
Yep. This week, I reckon he'll be able to kick. I reckon he might kick three or four in Ballarat.
I know he was playing on Maisie, and you know teams do generally try to go around him, but to only target him twice inside 50.
Yeah, you need to. And I saw a couple of their injuries. It was just woeful, you know, like if you've got one-on-one, you want to kick an advantage side, you can't just bomb it up and let him get out-muscled and let Lever roll across or just the ball's outside 70, you roll, it's even numbers, you're waiting, the whole world gets back, like get it in. So I reckon they'd be reviewing stuff like that. Righto, this is a big game. We've got Travis Boak's 350th. We've got Richmond at the G taking on the Port Adelaide Power. This will be at 4 p.m. on a Sunday. I reckon it's my lock of the week. We'll talk about locks later. Mm. I just think Port Adelaide are flying. I've tipped them top four. They looked impressive. I know they played West Coast. But Soldo plays his old mob. Richmond lose Dion. They lost a couple other boys. I don't know. I reckon Port win this one, and they do it for a bloke that's played 350.
350 is a lot of games. I know we had at least one every year.
How many did you play?
197.
Fuck you! Like three. Why didn't you go again for just the three?
Nah.
Did it cross your mind?
Yeah, it did a little bit, but I should have got there. You know, if I couldn't get there last year, you know, that wasn't the reason why I was going to keep playing anyway. But anyway, back to Boakie. What an effort! Like he, what a good bloke too, and one of the real gentlemen of the AFL. He, I think they'll get it done for him. Like they look like a real, watching them play last week, they look selfless. Like, you know, a lot of their forwards were in positions to score and they were just looking for the easier pass, looking for some teammate in a better position. And you know, as we spoke about Rosie before, and Butters, like they're just superstars. I know Richmond have some good players, but they're going to be one of the better teams in the comp. And even though it's a Richmond home game, I'm going with Port for Boakie.
Yeah, I just think the milestone man gets the chocolates. And then the late game, Oscar Allen unfortunately goes out. I think he's got something going on with his knee. Yep. I read today, so the Giants at $1.06 and flying. That is, there's not much to talk about there except for Jesse Hogan's kicked 10 goals and he might be a Coleman medalist this year if he keeps going. He is on fire, and so is our man Tommy Green. Tommy Green is the greatest character. I actually gave him a call after the game and said, mate, stop embarrassing the competition. And I think Clayton Oliver's probably on the same path. Two redhead bulls. I'm looking forward to seeing them two go head-to-head whenever that game is, but he's taking the piss at the moment, Tommy Green, and I think he had a laugh. He goes, well, the coach took me off at the end of the game. I was on track for 45. So I think he was on the fine for the last 10 just getting put on ice because they didn't want any, you know, precautionary reasons. Amazing kind of day he had, 37 and a sausage.
Oh, amazing. And you touched on Jesse kicking 10 so far. He's going to kick heaps more. The way they move the ball, out of the back line, they scored 50 points from defensive chains last week, which the average is about 16 points.
Remember I said that to you in the first podcast? Their back line, it's not just defending. They're like got the best users and the speed. They're very hard to get through and they also rebound quickly.
Yeah, well, and they scored 91 points from turnover and the AFL average is 50, I think.
That's amazing.
Like, so if you can get a turnover and go so quick to score, like the big key forwards, Jesse Hogan, who will be the tip, you know, the deepest forward, he's going to score a lot of goals this year, especially if they keep winning games. So GWS for me, mate, and that's us done for the tips this week.
That's our tips. That's our insights. I reckon this week for our lock, this is becoming an issue, so we need to clean this up. I'm going to put Port Adelaide forward at $1.50. I'm talking value. I'm talking form. And I'm talking milestone, man.
Yep.
Our theory is $1.60. We need to roll that over 12 times. We're back to ground zero.
$1.50.
So I'm thinking I'm going to take the Giants into Port Adelaide, and that'll give us $1.60. Now, you tell me what else you want to do. I hate head-to-head market. I don't want to put more than two legs in because of an upset. So is there anything else you want to do, change?
Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. You're on a heater. I'm backing you in, and there's a reason why. I hope we win, but if we lose, I'm coming at you next week.
That's good. That's oh,
so add something to the show next week. So get us off to a winner, Tommy. And I don't disagree with your picks either. I think Port win. I've tipped them. I think GWS win as well. So they're our two locks. Get our dollars.
Well, I can get juicier and we can throw Melbourne in there and Sydney and just get some juice back.
The loss.
Do you want to make up for the loss? There's no reason why the D's.
Stick to the formula.
I know the formula. I'm just saying, you want to juice it up a little bit.
We're going away from the formula. We're getting a bit toey.
we're getting toey in the yard. let's go back to what we just said. I'm going to lock. I could lock in Freo as well. We could have a fill up this week. We could have a fill up. I'll tell you what.
We can't pick one tip. Don't try tip four.
All right. I'm going to lock in Port Adelaide. And I'm going to lock in the Giants. I got a little bit nervous about Port, just because it's in Melbourne, but I'm going to take it on. I'm just going to say, Port, you're going to get it done. You have to get it done. If you're going to be top four, you have to win this game. Without Prestia, without a couple other boys, I think they get it done. And the Giants, it'd be an almighty collapse to lose over there. I know it's hard to win in the West, but they're still building, and they were competitive enough last week, but the Giants should just wipe them.
Yeah, they will.
So you're happy with it? Can you lock it in?
I'm happy with it. I'm just trying to think of what else I would go with, just so it's out there.
So you can remind me next week.
Yeah, I'll remind you.
Remember the odds. There's no real value in the Giants at $1.06, but it'll bring it up to $1.60. All right, we're locking it in. I'm going to go with the lock. So we're locking in Port Adelaide at $1.49 and the Giants at $1.06. It's the Sunday shift. We have all weekend just to wait for Sunday. Yeah, on the Arvo, you might be a bit hungover. If I'm not at the F1, I'm going to have my feet up watching it. But it'll be they're the locks of the week.
We're watching the live scores at the F1 anyway. This means a lot. We can't be going zipping three. We can't be Collingwood or St Kilda going zipping three.
I'm putting you on me back this week, and I'm telling you that this is going to be the results we're after. We're going to get off to a flyer. I've watched enough footy this week. I watched literally every game, I reckon, except for the last half of the Brisbane Dockers. Game. I am very confident that we're going to get the chocolates this week, and we're going to progress, and we're going to get this 12-week challenge. So there you go. Lock it in. Righto. You know we love this segment. It's our KPI construction. Stop that. There have been a few stop thats this week, and we have some just to finish off the podcast. And I've got a big one, and I'm going to let you go first, Pig, so I can gather myself because I'm a bit upset with someone.
All right, Tommy. So this week's stop that for me is the AFL goal umpires. I went to the Melbourne Dogs game on the weekend, and there was 5 goal reviews in a half. I don't mind the ones where it might be touching the line or might be a like for a goal, but you can't be reviewing a point. You're getting paid to do a job. Back your judgment in and stop every time it happened, there was a groan across the crowd. Oh, another one. And I'm sitting there going, you've got to be kidding. You're getting paid probably quite well, mind you, the goal umpires for a Saturday or a Sunday shift, and you can't even make a decision, which is – how hard is it? Oh, I reckon that went over the line. Oh, no, it didn't. All right, point or play on, which whatever it is. They're reviewing whether it hits the behind post and the boundary post, and it might be out of bounds on the full, might be a point. It's one point. Just make a call, move the game on. Play it on, make the game go faster. If it's a goal, end of a quarter, I understand. Go to the third umpire for that. But for the points, come on, stop that, umpires. Fix it up. Whoever's coaching the umpires, tell them to make a decision. Tell them to sort it out. Back your judgment. You're getting paid. Do your job. Do it properly. Stop that.
I agree, Pig. And if you need prescription eyewear, head to rickseyewear.com.au. These blokes might be blind. They might need it. I saw one dribble goal where someone touched it in the middle of the square and he reviewed it. I'm like, how's he missed that? He's standing right there. Now, I don't want to have a pot at the umpire. It's a tough gig. I was a boundary umpire once, you figure. I was a boundary umpire once. I'll never forget it. I was down at Macedon and the ball was, you know what, it was here or there and all the boys are drinking tins in the back of their ute and I just shit myself and said, play on, and it was out of bounds by about a foot. So sometimes you get it wrong, umpies, but I reckon you're right. Early in the game, you got, what, it's 15 minutes in the first quarter and you're reviewing a touch which is pretty, you know, here or there. Just give it the point. No one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the last quarter. It was the last quarter to go to the arc. Maybe the AFL said, boys, we need to pump up the arc sponsorship, so just review as many as you can.
Like, as I said, I understand the goals and all that, but like, you just need to make a call and move on. We don't care if you're wrong sometimes. Obviously, at the end of the game, and if it's touched on the line, you haven't reviewed it, someone's coming at you after the game. But yeah, stop that. Make your own call. You're very good at it. Here we go, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, so stop that. Well, I'm not going to go bananas, or will I? I don't know. We'll see how we go. But I'm going to start right here. Let's start with Riley Sanders. He's pick
superstar.
Six of the Western Bulldogs. He's the future. You don't have Bailey Smith. Big Baz Linker's out for the year. This guy comes in. There's been a lot of hype. The coach goes live and says there's been a lot of pressure for spots and we've been backing this bloke in. I spoke to him pre-game and he asked me, what do I do pre-game? I'm nervous. I watch the footy. He says, you watch the footy then, mate. That's what you do. It's all good. Love. The great relationship, right? All pre-game. And then Riley goes out. He has 15 disposals. He's the ninth highest ranked player on the field. He's in 126,000 Supercoach teams, I read. He's the ninth highest Supercoach player on the field. And the coach decides in the middle of the third quarter when he's on 15 disposals and I think the Dogs were down by 18 points, I'm going to take a bloke off the field who is our number one pick, our pick six, our future, a bloke that's flown probably all his family and friends from, I think he's North Launceston when he grew up. They're all in the stands. It's the greatest day of his career. And the head coach is going to give him the red vest? You're going to give him the red vest in his first game? All the fans want to watch him. He's had 15 disposals in 2.5 quarters. He's on track for 25. Yes, he might not be defending defensive transition, but who knows how to defend in their first game? Who's good at anything in their first game or their first attempt at anything? You've got to stick with him. You've got to back him in. You can't be giving him the red vest. And you know what the facts are? They were down by 18 or 17 when he was red vested. They finished the game losing by 45 points. It would not have mattered. I hated it. To coaches that sub their guns out in their first game, stop that. It's a disgrace. It's just a terrible look. You know what it is? It's a Dogs Act. It's a Dogs Act. You can't be doing my man Riley Sanders like that. I hope he plays a full game this week, because if he drops him, I would be flat. And I'm not even a doggy supporter. I'm just a fan of football, and I can't believe you would do that to your pick six, your future of your football club. And I'll give you one more little tip. In 2028, when the Tasmanian Devils come and they need a free agent or they need a big signing, I know where I'm going. I'm going straight to Riley's management and saying, remember what the coach did to you, son. You'll never forget it, because it's the most memorable moment of your life, your first game. The coach is bloody giving you the red vest and I couldn't have it. So stop that, coaches out there that play their guns and then sub them out. I just, oh, geez, it made me sick, Hibbo. It made me sick.
Well said, mate. And as I was at the game, he was playing well. He looked part, and you don't know the you don't know the impact that can have on your confidence as a first-game player.
Mate, have you been red-vested before?
Only through injury.
I've been red-vested. I started in my first game as the sub. It's not a great moment,
but it's better than
being red-vested. But when you get red-vested, it is demoralising. And one thing I want to share, and I'm going to move this sign, but that is a big stop that. It was my first game ever for the Giants, and it was amazing. My family flew up, and I did my calf tendon in the first quarter, and I was shattered. I was embarrassed. My next game, I come back and I didn't touch it, right? But you just know everyone's watching and it was a bit flat. Now, let's just rewind. It's your first game ever. You know people are watching. Your family's flown there to support you. Your friends have probably flown to support you. I don't know whether I know he's a Sandringham Dragon boy, but I know he grew up in Tasmania. They've all gone to this game and your coach gives you the red vest and you're playing well offensively. Mm. I get it if you're maybe not playing well defensively. I don't know. I didn't watch behind the ground vision. But you can focus on that during the week. I don't understand it. It's a disgraceful look. And I don't understand these. What? I just can't work it out. I looked at the stat sheet, and I think he still finished 10th highest on disposals, and he didn't play the last quarter and a half.
Yeah.
So I just have to address it. I'm not going to rave and rant too much longer. It's a huge KPI. Stop that. But I just, it made me sick, and I've been thinking about it all week.
I think starting a first gamer in a green vest and subbing him out is they're equal. I don't think starting your first game, as you said, I don't think you should be a sub. I think you should have the opportunity to run out with the boys straight away. And he wasn't doing anything wrong. So,
but you know what?
Well
happens
said.
Now?
I mean, Bevo's been making some blues too. Just on that, I just think, how don't you play Caleb Daniel? He's an Australian.
Oh, yeah, he dominated when he came on as well.
Dominated. He looked sharper class than anyone. He is a class above. He has been for years. And I don't know what happened over the offseason or whatever, but he's not playing McRae either, who's a superstar. I don't care if he's a bit underdone. He's still going to get 30 touches for you and usually silky left foot into their forward line, which they need. I just think at the moment you want your best players out in the park. And yeah, and then Riley Sanders is actually having a great game and he's subs him. So he's probably been smoking the funny stuff, if you ask me.
I can't say much more. I'm trying to
not
keep.
Not like we're having a dig at Bevo here, but you know, coaches. Get off the hooch, Bevo. Fuck her out.
You're on. Get off it. Stop that. Whatever you're doing pre-game, Bevo, and switch on. I tell you what, we review the players. Haven't you review yourself? You're making too many mistakes. The Dogs are 0-1, and you're subbing the pick six off early.
All right.
Ivo, that's me done. You finish it, mate. I'm getting angrier and angrier the more I think about that scenario.
Yeah, great show, mate. Looking forward to seeing how our tips go on the weekend, our lock, and tune into next week. Back our tips, back the pigs parlay, the Tommy's tip this week. He's
Saturday
on fire.
They'll be posted on Instagram Saturday morning.
And have a good weekend, everyone. See you next week.
See you next week with a little bit more cash in your pocket. This episode is proudly sponsored by KPI Construction Services. When it comes to construction sites, reliability and efficiency are key. That's where KPI Construction Services shines. With a single call, KPI provides a range of essential services, which includes labour hire, crane hire, and traffic control. KPI is a progressive business with modern plant and equipment across all of their operating states. Focusing on innovation and to avoid the business drifting is always front of mind. We are proud to be aligned with and have such a reputable company partnering with the show. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house.